You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Lyles, and I'm so excited to conduct another interview with one of the upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com, where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @SoftwareTestPro on both of these social networks. So let's meet our guests for today. Today we have Ann Hungate. Ann has more than 20 years of IT experience in major companies and consulting firms, experimenting with both engineering practices and organizational design, and determined that people and trust are the keys to better software. Most recently, she led the global quality team for a leading financial services organization, helping the team prepare for agile adoption. Ann has presented at local and national conferences, sharing the lessons learned on her software quality journey, and has held both CSQA and PMP certifications, and she earned her MBA from Case Western Reserve University. Welcome to STP Radio, Ann.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's so great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit more about you and how you got into testing.
Oh, gosh. It's a long and twisted story. You know, I don't think there are any straight paths into testing. So I majored in everything in college. And still didn't know what I wanted to do. And I joined a consulting firm and really found, when I went through my programming boot camp, just absolutely loved technology, loved the logic of programming. So I wore a lot of hats throughout. You know, I was a developer, technical lead, architect, and then I moved over into the project management. And in designing PMOs, I found that you can really do a lot of good running shared services. My sponsor at the time suggested that I look into quality. He said he had this great vision. He said, you know, quality is really where all the domains come together in technology, where you have to have the understanding of an architect, the detail orientation of a developer, the process appreciation of a project manager, and the communication skills of a BA. He said, I think you need to go into this space and be a part of the journey as automation and agile become more prevalent, be an influencer in driving that change. So that's how I got into quality. And now I've been in the space, wow, since 2008. So 9 years I've worked in quality and I absolutely love it. I love the teams. I love driving engineering practices and bringing new ideas and bringing the domains together.
Well, I had no idea that you and I have shared almost a similar journey. I was into software development myself. I actually moved into the PMO and did the exact same thing, got back into development as a manager there. And when my organization started a testing company, testing organization and a team in 2008, that's exactly when I started testing as well. So it sounds like we've had similar experiences.
Parallel lives.
It's so true. And when you look at, you know, what I've seen your journey and I've seen the things that you've done, and it's very similar to the passion that I've had for testing as well. And I think you've taken on a lot of new areas and looking at how is testing changing. And you've got a workshop with us called the new QA role in value. And I've had other speakers on this very radio show tell me that your workshop is one that they are surely wanting to attend. You're gaining a lot of popularity among the other speakers wanting to sit in on this and hear about the future of testing. And we know everybody has their own opinion. Many will tell you that they're sure of all the changes that are coming, and some may know and some may not. But whether they're right or wrong, one thing is for sure, times are changing. And testers need to be prepared for those changes. And your workshop mentioned that you will help the audience think about a roadmap for the future. And I really like that line in your description. Can you tell us a little bit about this workshop and what you wish to share with the audience?
Yes, I am. I've been working on this content since 2010. So this is 6.5 years in the making to come up with this framework. And this really leads to why I got into the domain in the first place. So folks who come to the workshop, we are going to open with some of the megatrends and talk about the implications with the convergence of changes in processing power and automation and big data and analytics, cloud, everything as a service. We're going to talk about how these are all converging and how they're creating new opportunities for quality professionals. And there's several dimensions to it. The first is we're going to talk about stability in careers, because historically, quality people, we've been able to stay with the team and stay with the product for a long time, and that might not be the case anymore. So we're going to really work on a frame of helping people get comfortable with the idea that stability is now dynamic rather than fixed. It's like riding a bicycle. You don't really start to get balance riding a bicycle until you're moving. So that's the first part. The second thing is it's really a reassuring message. I believe that quality professionals have something unique and special to offer in this time of great change, of exponential change, if we're willing to grasp it. What makes us special is this fierce loyalty to the brand and to customers and customer advocacy and customer experience. So as we're getting into advanced agile practices and automation and DevOps, there's a lot of emphasis on process and on tooling and architecture, but there's not a lot of emphasis on the customer and the brand. So this is the space where I want to see quality grow. So we're going to talk about two career paths that can develop over time as a result of product and customer advocacy. So then the next thing area we're going to talk about, career paths and opportunity for quality to really drive change, is in the tooling and advanced automation. So a lot of organizations have a reference architecture in place, but do they have a reference architecture for test? Or is the test architecture part of the enterprise reference architecture? We have a super opportunity for folks who are skilled in automation to become more closely aligned with architecture and development. And so we're going to talk really specifically in the workshop about what that alignment means, how to get it going, and a journey to really strengthen it. And what we're doing is opening up career paths for folks and infusing a quality emphasis into areas like development and architecture. And then another space where we're going to play that I think there's a ton of rich opportunity is in operational analytics. You know, we focus so much on big data and solving big customer problems, but what about, I call it little data, and I'm not sure that's going to catch on, but it's all this, I have a lot of ideas of things that should be trendy that don't catch on, but this one should catch on. There's a lot of information that we're leaving throughout the life cycle of any product, from planning to project management to requirements, build, test, run. There's an opportunity to harvest data across all these different systems and start telling a story that, you know, this process works really well, or when we had this many points in our story, customer adoption was, you know, 40% higher. There's a story to be told with data. And I think there's a huge opportunity for quality folks to play in that space, which then opens up career opportunities to other advanced, larger organizational analytics. So we're going to really talk in the workshop about what the four megatrends in IT and the four specialties of quality align and how it opens new opportunity.
But I got the privilege of working for a director many years ago who brought in that concept. Just like you're saying, testing is more than just sitting down and running through tests and evaluating the system. It's a combination of so many areas: the data, service virtualization, DevOps, environments and all of that into one place. And I think a lot of organizations that I've gone to and talked to, or companies that I've spoken with, or people that work at different companies will say, well, that's not testing, but it is. And I think once you realize what makes up that whole, the whole schema of testing, and everything that embodies testing is more than just sitting down and running through the application and using it. And I think a lot of folks actually treat it like it's Christmas morning and you got gifts all over the place and you start opening them, and this gift's important until you open up the next one, and you forget that one until later, and then you get to the third one and then you forgot the first two. And I think a lot of people just get all mixed up and they say, well, I love automation. Okay, I love service virtualization. Okay, I love data. And they can't focus in one area. And I really like what your workshop's going to do here. And it's going to explain to people, here's the things you need to do. Here's why you're here. Here's what you need to look at. And I think there's going to be a lot of great takeaways that people can take right back to their organization, learning from someone who's been in the trenches, has led organizations at a senior level. And I'm really excited for what they're going to get from you in that.
Right. I'm glad. I want people to leave being optimistic about this profession, not afraid that, you know, their jobs are getting automated away. I liken it to, and we'll talk about it in the workshop too, about scribes when the printing press was invented. Mm-hmm. You know, the printing press wasn't about putting scribes out of business. The printing press led to an explosion of literacy. And the printing press focused really on printing the Gutenberg Bible and the Book of Kells and a lot of mass production. Scribes were not put out of business right away. You know, for hundreds of years, scribes continued to write prayer cards, indulgences, legal transactions, financial transactions, really painstakingly planning each page. But everyone that stuck with being a scribe missed the opportunity that came with literacy. We had more teachers and writers and artists and publishers and librarians because we started sharing ideas in a whole new way. And to me, that's the best parallel to what's happening right now with all these megatrends in technology. And so what we're going to do when people leave the workshop, they're going to say, okay, I understand right now I may be a scribe. I'm using air quotes. You can't see because it's a podcast. But right now I'm a scribe, but I have a great affinity towards the product. And so these are some things I can do over the next 2 to 3 years to add value in my organization and create opportunity for me. Or I really like the tools. I like all the tools. I'm not sure which tool I like better. So here's sandboxes and places where you can play and where to seek mentorship and new opportunities. So it's no matter what people's affinity or preference is in testing, because this is quality is such a diverse domain. We're gonna have a plan for each one of them. And if you're the leader of the team, we're also going to give you an idea of a framework, a picture, a vision you can set in front of your team and share with your leadership. I know you're going to, later on, we'll talk about which workshops I want to go to, but I'm going to cheat and go jump ahead. There's one about storytelling, the magical first steps of automation. I'm not missing that. Right. Because storytelling is where we have an opportunity to really shine as a profession, because we see the whole picture. So we can tell a great story.
Anybody that knows me understands that I love metaphors and I love comparing things to real life experiences. To me, it's the best way to explain. Metaphors have been used for so many years by everybody that I enjoy and I follow. And you stated that everything you needed to know about the art and science of project management, you learned during your summers working as an exterior painter.
Well, I like that you glossed over why I got into house painting.
Yes, I will let you explain that. So, can you tell us how you related this to project management? What got you into this and what you learned from it?
Oh, you know what? I think that was being an exterior house painter beat the pants off any internship. I mean, first of all, it paid really well. It was a good paying job. And when you're from a big family and you're bringing up the rear, you get stuck paying, footing the whole bill for your own college education. So, and it was a really great way to meet guys, which is appealing to any, you know, college age girl. So I get this job as a house painter, and I had no idea what went into house painting. And it took me an entire summer to learn the craft of painting a house, how to care for brushes, how to care for the paint, how to move a ladder, how to, you know, paint a window. It was the end of my first summer before I was allowed to paint a front door. But as the summers went on, I'll tell you why it was such a great job. Because when you're the crew leader of a paint crew, you come onto a job, you have to manage everything. You have to anticipate obstacles that you may not be able to see, like irate homeowners or bushes or kids popping out at you, weather changing. You have to manage your equipment. You have to take good care of it. You have to manage the expectations of your homeowner. You have to keep your team happy. You've got to move along. You've got to beat your schedule. You have a certain amount of time that needs to be there. You have to paint to a level of quality that there aren't callbacks. You have to keep the home office informed of when you're going to be done and when there are any issues. You've got to work with your providers, your suppliers. So the hardware store that may be bringing the paint, or the crew that's bringing your ladders. So it's learning to negotiate and work with all these different stakeholders who have different needs. And you don't think about it. You don't think about it when you're getting your house painted, that these folks have skills that are really transferable to an IT shop. Right. But I learned a lot about diplomacy and how to clean up paint spills. I am loaded with tricks. If you get paint on your sidewalk, everyone, you can just rub some dirt into it while it's still wet, and that'll clean up all the paint. But yeah, that's everything I learned. I really learned painting houses. It was phenomenal. Right.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think of project management experiences everywhere. There's a Chick-fil-A near my house, and they just closed down last week, and everybody in the whole city decided they wanted to get Chick-fil-A right before they closed, because they were going to be shut down to do remodeling until March the 2nd. And when they told me that in the window, and I drove by the next morning and I saw all the damage they had done to the inside of this Chick-fil-A that's beloved in their area, I thought, this is going to be like an IT project. I guarantee you March 2nd is going to come and it's going to go, and it's not going to be opened up. It's going to be 2 months before I get to eat there again.
Nope. And it's going to be open March 2nd. I promise you.
So if that is the case, I definitely want to find out from them, what is their practice? How do they stay on track? And what are they doing that other people may not be doing? Because I have seen places shut down and not open back up. And you're exactly right.
Don't
the
laugh.
First thought came to me, they'll do it.
You know what? I'll tell you what's different. And I don't know why this never occurred to me before. I never missed a date on my paint job, and none of the crews in the company did. We focused so much when we got to a job of planning it and doing the prep work. The whole focus was, you started by doing a walk around with the customer. What are you expecting? You walk around with the crew. This is the order we're going to move. This is how we're going to manage the daylight, because you want to be away from the sun when you're painting. This is, you immediately check the colors that came with the paint, and the bulk of the job is spent doing prep work. And you don't miss a day. And I know that's going to happen at Chick-fil-A. And I think that is one of the ways we in quality can, right now, we sometimes let ourselves wait until the end to get brought into a job, or we wait until the shutters are going back up on a painted house before we come in and start doing inspections. And we have opportunity to get in earlier.
Well, I thought of a situation when I'm sitting in the window talking to the guy at Chick-fil-A, and he's saying we're opening back up on March the 2nd. And I said, I should have came more this week since you weren't going to be open the rest of the month and a half. And he said to me, I had a lady just drive through, multiple people actually, and bought platters of Chick-fil-A
to freeze and save.
To freeze and keep for a month. And I thought, how interesting that would be if we as a testing organization could have people so anxious to get to the testing And to see that, and to see the end of this project meet their dates, and everybody's bought into it as they would be to say, I'm going to have my Chick-fil-A.
Isn't that the same of saying, like, give me my virtualized services? So we have a service virtualization team. Let me load up on the service, get all these services so that I can run all these tests for the next 6 weeks while I'm waiting for my vendor or my supplier, whoever, to be ready. It's the same thing. You load up on platters of chicken nuggets, chicken strips.
That's a great metaphor. We should do a presentation on that soon.
Maybe a copy.
I'm so surprised that service virtualization, it's growing, and I've seen it growing over the years, but I'm still surprised that companies don't use it, because to me, and you and I have talked about this many times, to me, that is a core supplement and an alternative to allow you to get testing started earlier and to be able to use that. And I think we have an opportunity for that to really be a good thing for organizations that are just learning how to use it.
Oh, you know, we really do. It's a mindset change though. You know, now we go back to the analogy of riding a bike. So if we've been doing the same job forever and we wait until code all comes in, we have all the pieces together and we test, then the idea of being able to test with sophisticated stubs and virtualized services and virtualized data is a different way of thinking. So, you know, a lot of it is just getting people comfortable with it, getting comfortable with change.
That's right. Well, going back to the painting discussion, I know you mentioned that you don't paint as much now. You leave that to the younger generation. You're allowing other people to learn from it. And the one interesting thing you said was you don't use tape, which I always have to use, because if I get arrogant, I'll paint all over the walls and everything I shouldn't be painting on. But you stated that you go very fast. And speaking of fast, you have a session called Quality in the Digital Age, Get Ready. Now, this is a breakout session, and this is going to be a great one, I believe, because one of the lines in your session description says, get closer to the customer, closer to the technology, and learn more from your data. Now, that's a great call out, because I feel that organizations are prepared for the digital age from an automation and a new technology standpoint. People are starting to understand the Internet of Things better and looking at how we can handle devices and things that occur in your car, and I now can connect my phone to my car, and everything is changing technology-wise. But we sometimes forget about the core things that make things successful, which is a better understanding of the customer and how that data works with us. So what do you hope to share with the attendees and that they'll take away from this session?
Well, and my hope with this session, this one's more of a teaser because it's not a full workshop. My hope with this one is that it stimulates discussion and research and dialogue, and it reduces fear. I know we have a lot of folks right now who are nervous about automation and what it means to them. And this is kind of a teaser, but it's going to inspire people to go out and arm themselves with knowledge and tools and relationships and stretch themselves just a little bit to be ready for the next role. So if we go into the space again, I'll go back to the data and analytics. Get comfortable working with data and asking questions you haven't asked before. You know, asking why and can I get more data about it, and making connections you haven't made before. Because once you make the connection once, it's made and you get comfortable with it. So let's say we get comfortable with correlating the number of defects that escaped into system test with the customer complaints. Let's say we can get, you know, all the data are available. Have we ever done a correlation or compared like projects before to learn? What did we do differently when this project had so many fewer complaints in production? What do we do differently? So start harvesting that data, asking the questions, learning, and feeding it back. What happens is we're painting our quality team in a more favorable light, because we're using facts and data, not just opinions, but facts and data to tell a story and help our organizations get better. We're going to find that our stakeholders, our customers, our leadership team, they're going to respond very, very well to facts and data. And that's going to create opportunity. Everybody's going to say, get the quality team in here sooner. Or, you know what, we maybe could, let's start with the quality team so we know what they're going to be looking for at the end. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I may be the only person that's done this, but there's been times I've been at a nice restaurant and I've said, can you bring the waiter, I mean the cook out? Because I know I don't get to meet the cook. I only meet the waiter or the waitress that's coming out and giving me the food. And sometimes it's just so good, I want to tell this guy, you did an amazing job. And I think from a testing standpoint, sometimes we're behind the scenes. You got your PMO in the front end talking to the business, and sometimes your developers may talk to them and you don't get that front end, that front line. And I think really understanding what the customer wants, letting them understand what we're doing and what we're trying to do. I've mentioned it many times in organizations I've been in, I ask them to start with why and look at why are we doing what we're doing? We're not here just to test. That's what mm-hmm. we do. Why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish? And it's beyond giving quality and giving good products. It's I want my organization, whatever product I'm delivering, whatever the customer outside is getting, I want them to have the best experience possible. And I think if we can get it to that point, they're going to be asking for us, and they're going to be, you know, saying, why don't, like you said, why don't we get testing involved right now during the requirements phase, during the design phase, so that we know what it's going to look like, so they can get an accurate picture along the way.
Right. Right. Because the loyalty isn't to the technology that you're using or the process. The loyalty is to the customer's experience and the brand of the company's yeah. brand. Yeah. And I think there's one other really interesting place where we can add value. And that is we know where everything is, because once mm-hmm. we start digging for a problem, we don't stop, and we understand what data and what calculations are done in digital systems versus legacy systems. So as the reality of hybrid, the need for hybrid solutions comes into place, where the digital has to talk to the legacy and the, you know, structured data has to talk to the unstructured data. We are the team that is in the best position to understand which calculation, what data is coming from where and why. It's a phenomenal place to be and does nothing but create opportunity for us.
Right. That's right. So I'm sure you've seen the awesome program lineup, and you actually mentioned one of the speaker or the one of the sessions you were wanting to look at, or workshops. And as you look over these keynotes and sessions and workshops and some of the things that interest you, can you give us a little more on what you were looking at for this one or some of the others?
There's a couple. So I'm desperately want to go storytelling, but how am I going to choose between that? I think it's the same time as Nancy Kellen's got What the Hell Kind of Testing Is That? And and how can you not go to a session with a snarky title like that?
Yes.
I'm super excited about Kristen's keynote, Mapping Out Next Decade of Testing. Because I think that goes along a line with where I'm exploring. So not only do I want to go to her session, I want to grab a cup of coffee with her later on. And I, you know, I wouldn't miss Angie Jones, The Build That Cried Broken. It's a clever title, but it's a really important content, and she does a great session. So I'm definitely going to head to that.
You are picking some of the best ones. Nancy hasn't been with us in a long time, and I just had a radio interview with her, and we talked about her, What the Hell Kind of Testing Is That? And it's very interesting what she's trying to do there. I'm really excited to see what the attendees take away from that. And you know, people have said that to you. What is this? What are you doing? You're trying to do something different. Why are you doing it? Why are you changing? I think you'd mentioned a couple of the other folks. We have several new speakers who have been big speakers at other conferences, but have came to STPCon for the first time. Angie's, this is her first time. Several others from all over the planet. I think this one's gearing up to be one of the best STPCons we've had. And I'm just really excited to see what everyone gets from it and what they can take back and how things look next month.
Well, it's a packed lineup. I'm bringing tons of business cards and my writing hand, and I'm going to take some notes and learn what I can.
So I have one final question for you, Ann. This is your first time at STPCon, and I know you were supposed to be with us back in New Orleans a couple of years ago, but the question for you is, what are your expectations for this conference, and what do you hope to accomplish while you're there?
My expectation is that I'd have a chance to meet a lot of people and sit on sessions and learn. So I'm just really going to gather new ideas, synthesize them with some of my ideas, and really connect with other professionals in this domain. You know, I've had some rich experiences, but nothing compares with sitting down and having a lively conversation at lunch with people you've never met before and hearing their stories and finding the similarities and hearing how they solved problems. That's where I get all my learning. So I go to session, but then I always, always sit with people I don't know, you know, around a coffee table or at lunch or during a break and learn.
And that is something that I see happen a lot at STPCon. I see it happen at other conferences, but to me, being part of this conference so many times, I see it the most at STPCon that I've seen it anywhere. Speakers are very open to just sit down and talk to different folks, very open to give their insights and to share notes and what they've learned along the way. And it's always a great opportunity. We have two different opportunities for social events. We have the speaker meet and greet on Wednesday night of the conference, and then we have the sponsor event on Thursday night. So it's two opportunities for folks to really hear from speakers, hear from the sponsors, really sit down and talk to someone and get that hands-on one-on-one discussion. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be great. And I just want to say to everybody, go talk to the speakers, go talk to the vendors, because, you know, as a speaker, I want to hear from you. I want to know your experience, what you're thinking. I want to hear if I gave something that you don't think is a very good idea. I am totally open to it. And the vendors want to hear from you too. And they want to hear, are you trying their product? Or if you haven't, does the product make sense to you? Is it something you'd like to try? So get involved, get engaged.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for being with us on the show today.
Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody in person next month. Now it's a month and a day.
Right. Well, I look forward to seeing you in Phoenix. And this concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thanks to everyone for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes. We have more speakers coming. And if you haven't signed up yet, you're going to miss getting to see Anne and these other folks. And please sign up for the conference, get out there, and we'll see you in Phoenix in March.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio, and stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.